So hi, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours calling in from Boquete, Panama. And just want to thank you so much for calling in today. I am waiting on our guest speakers, Billy and Akeisha, to call in, and then we'll get started on their interview because they retired in 1991, a long time ago, and they're going to talk about the secret to being able to retire early was by moving overseas where the cost of living is so much less. I know many of you on the call are thinking about moving to Panama or someplace where the cost of living is a lot cheaper. And believe me, hundreds of thousands of other people before you have been able to do the very same thing. So while we're waiting on Billy and Akeisha, I just want to give you an update on what's going on here in Panama. In case you didn't see the email that I sent out this morning, we were scheduled to have the airport open on July the 23rd, which would allow flights to come into Panama. But because we have quite a few cases, like about 800 to 1,000 new positive tests are coming in every day, and mostly in the Panama City area, the Minister of Health has decided to hold off on opening up the airport for at least another month, and they'll be evaluated at that time and decide if it's okay to open up the airport or not. Now, you know, there are some parts of Panama, like where I live and Los Santos and some other places where they don't have hardly any cases at all. But unfortunately, the hotbed right now seems to be Panama City, and just a little bit west of Panama City, they're also having a high number of cases. So they decided not to open up the airport yet. The only people that can come into Panama are, of course, cargo flights that are bringing in medications. I can still order packages from Amazon and I can get those delivered. They come in by cargo. And then they have humanitarian flights that leave Panama and come into Panama once in a while. The humanitarian flights out of Panama are about once a week. The embassies arrange for flights out of Panama, and then flights into Panama are only, currently, they're only for people that are Panamanian or people that already have a permanent visa. Those people are allowed to come back in, but nobody else is allowed to come into the country. So that's kind of where we're at right now. Luckily, the grocery stores are still open and fully stocked. Restaurants, some are open, some are not. It's only for takeout or home delivery. Pharmacies are open. Hardware stores are open. But many of the other places, like a hotel, if you were to come into Panama, you want to stay at a hotel, well, they're not open right now. You couldn't go sit down at a restaurant and have a margarita and a meal. That's just not possible right now. So until the whole economy opens up a little bit more and it's safe to open up everything a little bit more, they're just going to hold off on having tourists coming into the country. So that's kind of where we're at right now. So I'm still waiting. Billy and Akeisha, if you're there, say something so I know that you're there. And if you called, you need to make sure that you call in on the host access code, which is 240880. That's the only way that I'm going to be able to hear you. If you called in on the regular access code, then if you're saying anything, I can't hear you right now. So if you've already called in but maybe used the wrong access code, call back and use the access code 240880 so you're on the host line. Tell you what, while we're waiting on Billy and Akeisha, I'm going to go ahead and do, instead of doing the questions at the end of the call, I'm going to go ahead and start taking some of your questions right now to fill in the time until they get here with us. So let me see who my first caller is. Looks like it's David at area code 770. Go ahead.
Thank you so much, Jackie. As you can tell, I love listening to your calls. Maybe one day I'll be able to move to Panama. But my question is,
you're a regular, so thank you very much.
You know, the strange thing about it is I've got about 5 more years to retire, right? I have been looking at Ecuador. I have been looking at Panama. I have been looking at Portugal. But out of the 3 places, you're the only one that have offered, like, conference calls to ask questions. So I give you and your company kudos. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I know it's a big decision to move overseas. It was for me, too. And just having the opportunity to talk to someone and to ask questions is important. So go ahead with your question.
Yes. So I understand that if someone takes your tour or they purchase a relocation guide, that they're part of your library resources. I get that.
Yep.
Can you tell me, first of all, how often do you update your resources? And second, can you tell us the instance where you were using Person A or Company X, but maybe after several complaints, you had to take Person A or Company X off your list of resources?
So first of all, there's only been, we update the online guide every single week. I'm doing updates to the online guide every single week. Same thing whenever you take a tour and you get a book on the tour, that's updated just before every single tour. There's been very, wait
very,
just a second.
Wait just a second.
Yeah, there's been only a few situations where I felt that people's conduct was not professional enough to reflect the image that we want for Panama relocation tours. Even though they provided a good service, just their demeanor and the way they talked and the language they used and the way they dressed, that it just didn't represent the professionalism that we are known for. So some people got the cut. But for the most part, the people that we work with are people that we've been working with for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years and never, ever had a problem or a complaint with them. There's been very, very few that we've cut.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So, Billy, are you there? I thought I heard someone else call in. I'll go ahead and take another call while we're waiting on Billy and Acacia to call in. Area code 813, go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. It's Bobby and Robin. We were on your tour, the first one in January of 2020.
I remember. I know your last name, and I remember. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. Good. Disappointed that the borders aren't open. I can't get back to doing tours, but it's better to be safe.
Well, we're still glad that you do this every week. We always listen. We decided that we are definitely going to become permanent residents of Panama, Boquete.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we have to wait, of course, until it opens up again. But question, because we plan on coming down as soon as we can get back in, can we apply for our visas while on vacation and then return in 7 months to get the permanent visa?
Absolutely. So getting your visa, like I talked about on the tour, it's a three-step process. Initially, you'll need to come down to Panama and plan to be here about 7 days, and that's to get your temporary visa and also to get what's called a multi-entry stamp, which allows you to leave Panama after you get your temporary visa. But whenever you're getting that temporary visa, it's not like you're busy all day long. You might be at immigration for 1 hour one day and 2 hours the next day, and that's about it. I've got a lot of static on the line this time. So you're going to have plenty of free time to do it. And then once you get that multi-entry stamp, you're welcome to leave the country, and then they will notify you when your permanent visa is ready. Realize that your temporary visa is only good for 6 months, so you would need to come back to Panama within 6 months of being issued your temporary visa. If something came up and for some reason you couldn't come back, like you couldn't come back for 7 months or 8 months after you got your temporary visa, that's okay also, but you would have a fine of $50 a month per person for every month that you didn't come back on time. So you need to come back in 6 months of being issued your temporary visa to avoid any kind of fines. Okay, so I just hold on a second. So let me, I got a message from Billy. Let me write him back real quick and I'll be right back with you. One second. Okay, wrote him back. So let me go ahead. They're going to try calling back in just a minute. So let me go ahead to our next caller. Area code 954, go ahead with your question. Hello? Yeah, I can't hear anybody. Hold on 1 second. Okay, area code 954, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
My question is the 30-day exit. Can it be it's close to Piquete? There's two roads going into Costa Rica. Does that qualify as an exit point and a reentry point?
It does. Yeah, all borders are closed.
No, I mean, you know, when it's back to normal business.
Oh, when it's back to normal. So you're talking about if you come down here as a tourist and you don't want to get a visa to live here permanently, but you just want to stay for 6 months and then leave for 30 days and then come back. Yes, either the road at the Frontera, which is at Paso Canoas, you can get into Costa Rica that way. There's also another one at Rio Sereno, which is north of there, and either one of those count.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And next caller, area code 281, go right ahead.
Hey, Jackie, it's your friend from hot, hot, hot Tyler, Texas, John.
Okay.
Hey, once someone gets moved there, this is an odd question, but it's something I think that I want to think about. If I were to get sick or get cancer or just have a fatal death, do they have funeral homes and places to where you can make prior arrangements? And do they have grave sites that you can pick out and be buried there if you're an American?
So if you got real sick, they have really good hospitals and really good doctors. They even treat cancer and other kind of serious illnesses here. So you'd have really good health care at extremely affordable prices. You can even get health insurance. You can use the public hospitals, which is super affordable, or you can get health insurance here in Panama that would cover most of those costs of any illness that you have. Not every single town does not have a funeral home, but a lot of homes do. There's usually going to be one that's not very far away. And there are cemeteries also, and also crematories. So you can make advance arrangements with those. You can also just write up advance directives on things that you want to happen just in case you're incapacitated, and make sure that you people that know you know where all your wishes and everything are located.
Okay, well, what's the average cost of a funeral? I mean, in the United States, they're $10,000.
I think it's about $700.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, So, Billy, are you there?
Well, can you hear us?
I can hear you now, yes.
That's great.
Don't know what you're doing. Jackie, this is
okay,
one big plus.
Okay, I don't know what the... Boy, we have a lot of background.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you, yes. Now we're good.
Okay, all right.
So I want to introduce you to Billy and Akeisha. I want to introduce you to Billy and Akeisha from RetireEarlyLifestyle.com. So, Billy and Akeisha, I'll let you talk to – go ahead.
Okay. Can you hear us?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
You got it?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. So I just introduced you and told everybody what your website is, plus I've done it by email a few times. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about your backstory, about how you were able to get off that hamster wheel of working, working, working all the time and never being able to see each other, and you were able to retire early. And this is something that I know some people on this call, they've lost their job or their business has been shut down because of the pandemic. They don't know when in the world it's going to open up. And a lot of people are doing some soul searching and reevaluating, thinking, you know, do I even want to go back to that life that I had before? Maybe I want to do something different. So tell people how you made that transition.
Okay, well, this was back in 1991. We were 38 years old, but actually the story started a couple of years prior because we had been working our butts off like many of your listeners here. And first of all, I want to tell everybody hello, and I apologize that we had a mix-up, but we had some major technical issues here. But anyway, we're here. So 1989 is roughly when we got this idea to take a look at our investments and see how much money we had, and then we took a look at how much we were spending. And what we did is we subtracted out what we were spending on work-related items, including our home, cars, car insurance, clothing, dining out, dining for lunches. All of this we subtracted out of it, and we came to a figure that was much less than what we expected of what we were just spending on ourselves. And so we figured out, then I figured out, how much money do we need to live, do we have, need to have invested in order to make that nut? And we started piling everything we could into the S&P 500 index funds back then. And then we figured out that we could produce enough income off of those, that investment, in order to cover our nut. And that's, it's just been growing since then. Today we have a higher net worth than when we started after inflation and spending. And we're doing quite well. Go ahead, Akisha.
Well, I would say that another thing we did is we prioritized. After we tracked our spending, we figured out what we were spending in all the categories. And the number one, the highest category of spending in usually any household is for housing. And the second one is transportation. And then there's taxes. And then there's food and entertainment. So those are the four major spending areas. And so when you can modify any of those spending areas, then you can find extra money to live elsewhere. And like you've talked about moving to Panama and how much more reasonable the pricing is there. That's an excellent suggestion.
We coined the phrase called geopolitical arbitrage, where
I lost you.
Hello?
We got you back. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, we coined a phrase called geographical arbitrage, where you can go to another country that is less expensive than your home country, and your dollar, in our case, goes a lot further. And plus, we figure we're living currently in Chapala, Mexico, which is the largest expat community in the world, and it's on Lake Chapala. It's a beautiful area. And we're about 5,000 feet high, so it's not like the brochures where they show you only the beaches of Mexico. We're up in the mountains, and the weather's quite nice all the time. So, but the cost of living is about a third of that in the U.S., at least, if not more, and it's a very nice lifestyle.
Great access to medical care, active local communities, lots to do. Were there particular questions that anybody had?
They're going to have a lot of questions, but I wanted to ask you a couple of other things. Now, some people, whenever they move overseas, like me, they just decide to go to one particular area and settle down. And some people just continue renting. I bought a house because I just like to have my roots down. But you took a different path, and you decided to kind of live in one place for 6 months or so and then move on and move to another place, which means you don't ever have to get a residency visa in these different countries. So I know you spend quite a bit of time in Mexico and also in Guatemala. And talk about some of the places where you have lived and some of the pros and cons of those different areas.
Okay, we've got a few what we call bases. One of them is Chapala, Mexico. One of them is Panajachel, Guatemala on Lake Atitlan. And then we have Chiang Mai, Thailand. And we've since added Saigon, Vietnam into our mix. And those are places that we get in there, we get familiar with the area and the Visas are usually pretty friendly, and so we can stay longer than just a week or a month or so. And then, you know, we learn more about the area and where to shop and things to do. And then when we leave, we usually leave some boxes behind, just so that when we come back, we don't have to refurbish everything.
Since we retired so young, you know, we didn't want to just stay in one place. We wanted to see the world, and that was one of the differences between a lot of people. You know, many people retire in their 50s or something, and we were just too young to want to settle again. So, you know, we rented apartments, did an apart hotel. You can get great rates that way, and then just keep on the move while we were still mentally and physically flexible enough to do that.
Now, you brought up residency. We just recently, within the last, a year ago, January, we got our permanent residency for Mexico. So now we can stay here as long as we want. And that was a fairly painless thing to do.
Right. Now, you mentioned earlier that for everybody, one of your biggest expenses is going to be your housing expenses. And I know I've had some calls from people recently that their business has gone away and they're in this big fancy 6,000 square foot house with a $3,000 or $4,000 a month house payment, plus the electric bills and everything else that go with owning a home. So when you're overseas, one of the ways that you can save a lot of money is to do some house sitting. And with all the friends that you have all over the world, I'm sure that you take advantage of that as well.
Yeah, that's a great way to cut back on your housing costs. We have people who word of mouth is really the strongest. You can start with an organization. There's plenty of those, and sign up just to get yourself known and get into the system and what's expected. But generally, word of mouth is the most solid, most rapidly growing way to house sit. We have several people that we know who do this full time. They go all over the world, or they have just picked certain locations. We have a friend who does Mexico and all of Mexico, and then the U.S. And so he goes back and forth from there as his visas, you know, dictate, and he rarely pays for any kind of housing at all. He's a single man. Then we have another couple of friends who are as a couple, and they go to Europe, they go to Germany, they do all of Mexico, and someone in the States as well. But, you know, you can go to France, you can go to Asia. House sitting is an excellent way to modify your housing expense.
If you want to get started with it, get your first sit under your belt and make some cards up. And when you're at that house sit, go down to the plaza or to some community places and hand out your cards or in grocery stores or whatever, and see where that leads you.
Every house that you do, get a recommendation for the job that you've done, and then that goes on your website. It's really recommended that you get a little presence online so that you can direct people, and they can leave comments, you know, you can show some pictures of what you've done and brag about yourself a little bit, have a short video if you want. It's an excellent way to make inroads into this way of modifying your housing.
Another really big expense that really concerns people about moving to another country is health care and health insurance. So people that are in retirement age, they have Medicare, which, or if they're in Canada, they have the Canadian medical system, which makes their cost extremely affordable. So I get the question all the time but you know, can I get insurance, and I have pre-existing conditions. And people, it's hard for people to imagine how extremely affordable that healthcare is outside of North America. So what's been your experience with health insurance or healthcare in other countries?
We've had numerous quote emergencies throughout our almost 30 years of running around the globe. And one example is when we were in Guatemala, Acacia was getting off the bus and she caught her finger that had a couple rings on it on something. We don't know what. We still don't know what. And she did what called degloved her finger, which she took all the soft tissue off down to the bone. And it was a major emergency as she was bleeding out on the side of the road. I wrapped it as tight as I could with a handkerchief. We got to a hospital, which was not the kind of hospital we would normally go to, but it's what we got. And they stitched her up. And then a couple days later, we got a hold of a a lady that we just recently interviewed in Guatemala who does health facilitating, and she told us that she would bring us to Guatemala City, where she got seen by a hand surgeon. 14 hyperbaric chambers later and three or four different surgeries on her hand, yeah, the whole thing cost us $3,000, and 1,000 of that was for a private driver from Antigua to Guatemala City.
We've also had things like colonoscopies, eye exams, breast exams, annual physicals, all that kind of dental work, eye care, everything like that. And
it's so convenient, you know. If I want to have a blood panel done, I just go down a couple blocks and walk into the lab and tell them what I want, and they draw the blood and they email me back by noon the results.
Yes, you can get all of that. It's just so easily affordable. And you know, to see a doctor is $20 to $35. A specialist might be $50. You know, X-rays are $20. You know, so it's really affordable, very, very easy access. Most of them speak English. Most of the medical people speak English.
Yes. And as you know, Medicare does not cover anyone outside of the United States. And we do continue with our Medicare in the U.S., but it's not going to do us any good here. However, we do have a system that's within this, because we're residents, they give us some sort of a healthcare card here. But if, you know, for me, all that is to patch me up until I can find a better hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same thing here in Panama. You don't even need a doctor's prescription. You can just walk into any laboratory and you can order complete lab work. And you can go. There's insurance here in Panama that I switched. I did have international health insurance, but I switched, and I just have insurance only here for Panama, which cost me $102 a month, and it covers everything. But to get that insurance, I had to get an EKG and lab work for the doctor to see, and I just had it done, and then I scanned it and emailed it to the doctor. The EKG was $15. And the lab work cost me $40 for the whole, all the different things that he wanted to have done. So it was so affordable to have these things done here.
It really frees you up emotionally and mentally when you realize you can get good health care outside of the state, and it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg.
And the big, for me, the major advantage is I can just walk into a specialist. I don't need to be a referral. I can just walk into a doctor, and you know, if they got time, they'll see me. If not, they'll tell me to come back tomorrow. But it's not like, you know, we can get you in 3 weeks if you're lucky. None of that. It's everything's just on demand.
I recently saw a dermatologist for some issues I was having because we spent a lot of time on the beach. And after she examined me and so on, we went to Cartagena, and so I communicated with her via my phone. I would take photos of my issue, and she would advise me across the phone. And we just do WhatsApp together, and she does like follow-ups on WhatsApp. Now, obviously, if I thought I was having an issue, I'd make an appointment and go. But these kind of follow-ups, not only are they free, but she does it on the phone. I send her a picture, and we just chat back and forth. And then, you know, I set up a follow-up that's necessary whenever the time is right. Oftentimes, doctors will give us their home cell phone numbers, and it's just everybody's very accessible.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a completely different situation. I know it's hard for people to imagine how, you know, just having access without having to go through a receptionist. If I need to make an appointment with my ophthalmologist, I've had a couple of eye surgeries in Panama, I just send him a WhatsApp and say, I'm going to be in Panama City on Friday. What time, you know, what time can I come by? And he'll say, this or that, and you'll pick one. Yeah. My daughter was here in Panama for 3 or 4 months recently, and she got this really dark red spot on her eyeball. And it didn't hurt, but she was just a little worried about it. So I sent a WhatsApp message to my ophthalmologist and told him my daughter was here and she had this spot. And did he think that we should go get it? He said, well, take a picture of it and send it to me. So we took a picture and sent it to him. He said, no, it's just fine. He said, if it starts irritating her, he wrote down, you know, what kind of drops that she should go get to put in her eye. No charge. He doesn't send you a bill for these things. Once you establish a relationship with a doctor, it's kind of like attorneys. Once you establish a relationship with an attorney, you can send them a WhatsApp and ask them a question, and they're not going to send you a $300 bill. Same thing with the doctors.
You know, we find that goes for everyone in Latin America. Well, I have found from we've been coming to this area since 1993 and then traveling out of here, and I have found that building relationships is the best thing you can do in any Latin country, and it can go on. And it will last a lifetime. If you build the relationship right, be nice to people, treat them with dignity, they will do the same to you.
Right. And it's also really the relationships with in the country that you're in with the Panamanians or the Mexican people, the doctors and all of those, but also getting really good relationship with the expat community. Because when you need a plumber or when you need an ophthalmologist or when you need anything, you kind of put the word out to everybody and say, who do you recommend? And you're going to hear that the same name come up over and over again with certain people. And you know, that's exactly who you need to go to. So it doesn't have to be a guessing situation. These are from people that have had good experiences with different people. And it's all about that relationship.
Exactly. Jackie. And the other thing is that you don't need to go to a doctor and get a referral. So you're paying for two medical appointments, you know, 4 weeks apart or any of that. You just call up the office and make an appointment. Because as you say, someone that you trust has recommended the same names keep coming up. So you call that person up and make an appointment and they get you in within a week usually. I mean, you know, sometimes it's 3 days, but yeah, it's great.
When I was playing tennis, I was playing tennis with numerous doctors. And so some of the times I just get advice on the courts.
I wanted to mention this real quickly too. Billy had a tooth implant. He had it started in Guatemala, but we travel so much, he had it finished in Mexico. And excellent doctor, you know, they used these Israeli parts and posts and that sort of thing. And the whole molar implant cost under $1,000.
The extraction and all the way to the final product.
Yeah, amazing. I know people that are on the call are thinking, it can't be that cheap. It can't be that cheap. And they've heard me talk about these prices. You talk and other people talk about the prices, but it really is. It can be that cheap. It can be that much more affordable. So a lot of people that are on the call, they've already planned on retiring overseas, but there's some people they didn't really plan to retire early, but this whole pandemic thing has got them rethinking their lifestyle and you know, what they're going to go back to afterwards. It might be different, and they're thinking, maybe I should just retire early and go someplace else where the cost is more affordable. What advice would you have for someone in making that analysis to determine if they're financially ready and also mentally ready to make that switch to moving to another country?
Well, the first thing they have to do is be financially ready, and that would require them to know how much they're spending on themselves, like I described earlier, and then multiply that number by 25. And if they've got that kind of assets invested in liquid assets, like in the stock market, then they should be okay because they can pull 4% out and per year and cover their nut. That's all theoretically, of course, but it's worked for us very fine. It's worked for us better than that. Then the second thing is find where you think you want to be and go in and rent. Do not buy. And because you may not like the neighborhood you're in, or you may, you know, your neighbors might change and you know, things happen. My recommendation is rent for at least a year. And you may not even like the town you're in. You may want to go to the beach. You may be in the mountains. You want to go to the mountains. So, you know, you may not like the country you're in. There's so many opportunities out there. And it's just what people are looking for.
If they don't know where they'd like to go, I'd start, like what Billy said, to track their spending so they know what they're actually spending on themselves, what they could live on. But the other thing is to write down the things you're looking for, like weather, access to an international airport, perhaps, for them to visit home and family, access to medical care, is it easy, what kind of grocery stores are around. You know, things that are important to you, activities like social activities, museums, or card games. You know, some people play bridge, artists, that kind of stuff. And you need to know what's important to you, because some people like beaches, some people like mountains, some people like pueblos, others like big cities. And so if you're a city person and you go to a little town, it's not going to work. You know, if you're a little town or medium-sized town person and you go to a big city, you're not going to like all that chaos and hustle bustle. So you got to know what you're looking for, and then you can narrow down and just write off a lot of cities or places that won't fit your requirements.
We like what we call easy living. Excuse me. We like what we call easy living, and that is where we can walk out the door and we have stores available to us, a market perhaps. For us right here, the international airport's 30 minutes away, yet it seems like it's forever away because we have no traffic from here whatsoever. Activities that we like, you know, walking, hiking.
Yeah, we're less than a mile from the beach. I mean, from the lake.
A 12-minute walk to the lake here.
We have public transportation. You know, we've got restaurants all over. We just walk out our front door and there it is.
Yeah, it sounds like an ideal lifestyle. I think your advice to tell people don't rush into buying is so important. That's what I tell everybody on our Panama relocation tours also. And you need to test drive. Whatever country you're in, you need to give it a test drive for at least a year, because there can be weather is different at different times of the year. January and February in Panama, it's very windy. And as you discovered, when you're in Panama in October and November, is very rainy, because that's when you were here, when we were at the height of our rainy season. And so you just don't rush into buying anything. You can rent. Also, if you rent, don't sign a one-year lease on something. Do a very, very short-term lease, maybe even just 1 month. And try that area out for a while, and then go try out a different area, and then go try out a different area. Just be very fluid with where you're going to be, and don't think that you go to one town in Mexico and you say, well, this didn't work. I don't like it at all. I'm going to go back to Tennessee, because Mexico's a big country. You can try some of the other places there. Panama's a small country, but you can apply. If you don't like the beach, try the mountains. If you don't like the mountains, try something halfway in between. So there's a lot of different things that you can explore within every single country that you go to.
Yeah, and with today's Airbnb, that's an excellent way to get started into any place. And so you get yourself an Airbnb, book it for a month, and then go from there. And one of the recommendations as far as renting a house is to try to deal with the principals. Don't avoid the real estate people and their rentals, because you're going to pay a higher price because they have to be paid. Mm-hmm. So if you can find the owner and negotiate with them, then you're in a lot better off. A lot of times it can be month to month.
Yeah. The other thing I'd recommend is many people we know, many gringos that we know, bring down all of their bedroom suits, their furniture, their kitchen equipment, et cetera, et cetera. And then they bring it to the home that is in a different culture and it just doesn't fit. You can buy everything you need in your new location. If you have something that, you know, that your great, 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 great grandmother gave you, maybe you could bring that. But seriously, go to your new place thinking that you're just going to purchase everything when you need it, as you need it, and try to lighten up your load. You can put it in storage for a while, which is an expense, or you can rent out your house for a while, which will give you some income. But just don't bank on bringing all that furniture, because what you pay for moving, you can purchase new stuff.
And then when you get into the other country, it's not going to go. It's not going to be the furniture that people use down there.
Right. So many rentals come completely furnished with pots and pans and a TV and a coffee pot. It's not even Airbnb. It's just a regular rental. They come with everything you need. So it's really not necessary to bring stuff down. Now, when you move in, you might hate the bedspread, but you can go buy another bedspread a lot cheaper than you can to ship something down or to get it from Amazon. So there's plenty of stores where you can get something that's going to fit in a little bit better with the environment that you're in.
Right. And speaking of Amazon, we now get Amazon deliveries from the U.S. here.
And there's Amazon Mexico, too.
Great. Great. Yeah, we have that here in Panama. So, Billy and Acacia, you do have some books that help educate people about that are in this, thinking about it, moving overseas and gaining their independence. Tell us a little bit about your books that you have that can help people with that whole decision process.
We have an e-book store on our website, which is retireearlylifestyle.com, and then just go to the e-book store. And we have our latest book is our fourth edition, Your Simple Path to Fire. It's The Adventurer's Guide to Early Retirement, Your Simple Path to Fire. And the other is Your Retirement Dream is Possible. Those two books will help you go through the things that you can eliminate from your life, how to pare down your expenses. We try to offer people options. You know, you can think outside the box, and we try to give people things that will make them feel more financially free, emotionally free, and that you can have more movement within your particular style of retirement. There's not one size fits all. And so all of our books, including our travel books, we've got about 10 or 11 of them now, are in that bookstore. We've got an interactive spreadsheet that you can put in your expenses, and you can track the percentage of your net worth and how much you have, a daily cost average and a yearly cost average and a trailing 2-year cost average.
Yeah, we also have a book on Chapala. It's the Chapala Mexico Living Guide, and it tells you on your first visit how to get here and how to get from the airport, you know, what's where to go right off the bat, and just to make your first initial trip seamless, and where to eat and all the restaurants around here, et cetera, et cetera. So any of those books are definitely worth taking a look at.
We also have a mentor service. So if a person doesn't know where to start and they're just not sure, maybe they're just so
overwhelmed,
shell-shocked, yeah, from this COVID thing, we can help you through. We can help you through that. You know, you're not alone. You don't have to be terrified. You know, we can answer all your questions. Billy's a great investment person, and I mostly focus on lifestyle. But if they have, you know, those kind of issues, we have a mentor service program, which they'll really, it's person to person on the phone and emails and that kind of thing. We can help them out quite a bit.
Yeah, one of the things about moving overseas is you need to realize that it's not going to be like living in Canada, but cheaper. It's not going to be like living in the United States, but cheaper. It's going to be different. Life is going to be a little bit different. And sometimes you just don't know what you don't know about living in other countries. So having the experience of someone like Billy and Akeisha that have lived in a variety of different countries for the last 30 years is a really great resource to be able to tap into to help you decide, based on what you're looking for, which country might be the best fit for you, which country is going to be the best fit for your budget on what you have to work for, and which country is going to have the kind of amenities that you're looking for. Some of them won't. Some countries won't have the things that you need to be happy in your life. It might not be on your must-have list, but other places will. And some people are ready to just, you don't have to recreate the life that you had before. It's time to start making a whole new life in another place or several other places.
Exactly right. And don't believe the media up in the States when it comes to Mexico specifically. I don't know how much Panama is covered, but Mexico gets a pretty big rap, at least in the southern states. And come down and make a new life for yourself. And this is the largest expat community in the world, Lake Chapala. And we live amongst Mexican mostly, but there's another town west of here called Ajijic, which is just loaded with U.S. citizens and Canadian citizens. And it's a real artsy type of town. They have a theater. We actually have two theaters here where the locals perform, and they direct, and they make costumes and all of this. And it's actually quite high quality. A lot of people out of L.A. settle down here, and they're actresses and actors. And so they come down here and they do this in their retirement years.
One of the things I wanted to mention, too, is that when people retire, a lot of times they might feel that their life is not as active, or there's no meaning or significance. And what we have found is that there is need all over the world. So if you want to rescue animals or rehome them, if you want to educate, help, you know, like there's mentorships for young girls to get them through school. There's gardening shows. There's cooking schools. And Billy built two tennis courts in Chapala here some years back, and he, you know, he gathered the money from people, and he just volunteered to, he volunteered his labor and got the Mexican workers. There's all sorts of needs that you can fulfill, and it's very satisfying.
Yeah, unlike in the U.S. where if you want to do something, you have to get permits. Here, if you want to do something, you pretty much just do it. Like whether that's teaching English as a second language, or I have no construction skills whatsoever. I went to the mayor and got permission from him. But otherwise, we had four tennis courts, and they were so busy that we needed more. So I raised the money and built two more. All that red tape, you don't need to deal with it. You know, you can just do this stuff without having to get permission from everybody.
Yeah, there's organizations here like the American Legion sometimes, or there's a group called the Lake Chapala Society. They help the blind and the deaf kids. You know, they raise money for the homeless, you know, that kind of thing. And so there's always something to do. There's always some, oh gosh, if you were a dentist or a doctor or a nurse, I mean, the things that you could help people with here.
Yes.
The natives sometimes just can't afford care.
But we all have skills. And so there's something that you can transfer to another place. Because you find a need and you fill it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when you're not working 10, 12 hours a day and, you know, sitting in traffic an hour to get to the job and an hour to get home, you realize all of a sudden how much time you have in your life to actually start living again instead of spending all your time just working all the time. You're going to discover it's liberating. It's so liberating.
You know, we don't know how we had time to work.
Yeah, well, you know, since the pandemic, I don't know how in the world I had time to do any tours. I just don't know where in the world I fit that in because I've been so busy, not just the Saturday conference calls, but just other things that I've been doing. And I don't know when in the world I had time to do a 7-day tour a couple times a month because I've been so busy during the pandemic. But life is what you make it for everybody. You can sit around, just watch TV. The most important thing you should do is turn off the news. There's not anything you can do about it anyway, and just start immersing yourself in the place that you're living, getting involved, meeting people, volunteering whenever you can, and even just sitting around and doing some people watching. You're going to learn so much about, just get the vibes of what it feels like and what the people feel like in each area that you're in.
Couldn't agree more.
So once again, their website is retireearlylifestyle.com, and they do have a bookstore that has some books. They're all under, I think, all under $20 that have some detailed information to help you determine if you're ready for financial independence and if you're ready for making that leap of faith and moving to another country. But they also offer a mentor service, just a one-on-one mentor service. And sometimes that's what you need. You just need someone to hold your hand and someone to just confide in and say, this is my situation, these are my finances, and is there any place where I could possibly live and afford life on this kind of a budget? And because they have so much experience and so many different places, they're going to be able to help point you in the right direction on which place might be the best place for you. Might be Panama, might be Mexico, might be Thailand, might be Guatemala, but they can help guide you in which they think would be a good fit for what your specific needs are. So
yes.
If it's okay with you, Billy and Akeisha, I'm going to open it up for a few questions from the audience. Is that okay?
Okay, sure. That's fine.
Yep.
Sure.
And
one other question, Jackie.
Go
one
ahead.
Other question I have is Panama open now? Are there airports open?
No, it's not. We were supposed to open on July the 23rd, but they just made an announcement last night that they're going to extend that, and we won't open until about August the 23rd. And even then, it's a moving target. Maybe it will,
right.
And maybe it won't. Because we still have Not really, only in Panama City. We get a lot of, like, 800 new positive tests a day in Panama City. Mm-hmm. The rest of the country, not hardly anything at all, but only in Panama City. So until they get better control of that, Panama's still closed. What about Mexico? Is it open?
Yes, you can fly in from the U.S. and Canada, but land crossings are a little more iffy. But definitely you can fly into PV, you can fly into Guadalajara, flying to Mexico City.
Do they require a COVID test to come in?
No.
They'll take your temperature, ask you to fill out a questionnaire for if you've had symptoms, that kind of thing, but that's it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do they require a quarantine once you get there?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
It's a lot more relaxed. It's a lot more relaxed where we are here. Now, there are some states that are a little stricter. There's 32 states in Mexico, and some of them are a little stricter, but the state that we're in is pretty relaxed about all of this.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And, you know, sometimes whenever any of the countries, when they got super aggressive at the very beginning about it with some social distancing and shutting down certain things, and they just got a handle on it right away, so that then they're able to start opening up. So it's different all over the world. It's just a unique situation that I've never had to experience before, and hopefully when we get through this, I'll never have to do it again.
It's a unique situation that changes by the day.
Yep.
So, let's open it up to some questions, get off this subject.
Yep. Area code 910, I've unmuted your line. Go ahead.
Hi, yes, I was wondering if you can get your FBI background check in Panama City.
No, you have to get that in, you can get your fingerprints done in Panama, but then you have to send it off to the FBI in the United States. So you cannot get the documents that you need for getting a visa. You cannot get those in Panama.
Okay, can't you do that electronically, though?
No.
Okay, nope. Because we had our fingerprints done electronically, and
they won't allow it to be done in Panama. Even there's an FBI office at the U.S. Embassy. You cannot walk in there and get electronic fingerprints and get an FBI report. It's required to get a visa that you get that outside of the country, and you have to get it apostilled or authenticated outside of Panama. You can't accomplish any of those things in the country. And our next caller is area code 954. Do you have a question for Billy and Acacia?
Now, Jackie, this is Doe, and we were supposed to be with you in July the 10th. Not for Jackie and Acacia, but who I want to ask for is medical options if you're 77 and over.
So they do have health care. You can use the public hospital system, which has no monthly fee at all. It's $2 to see a doctor or $5 for a specialist. If you wanted to get health insurance, if you're over 75, it's $180 a month. So it's quite expensive.
Yeah.
Pre-existing conditions?
Sometimes they'll exclude that the first year and cover it at 50% the second year for pre-existing conditions. So, next caller, do you have a question for Billy and Acacia? Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, your lines are muted.
Oh, hi. Yes, so I'm planning to relocate. I'm thinking Panama, and I have a son that's special needs, and he's an adult, and I know eventually I'm going to have to let go. He's 27, and I'm 54, so where would you say would be the best place that he would have a good quality of life? He is, everything's shut down, and there's nothing here. So where would you suggest?
There's really not any kind of facilities or independent living for special needs people. In Panama, it's customary, like it is in most of Latin America, that if you have a special needs child, or even if they're an adult child, they stay with their family. So that's just the Latin American way. And even whenever people get really, really old and they just can't take care of themselves anymore, there are a few nursing homes and assisted living, but for the most part in Latin America, the family unit stays together regardless of disabilities.
Excuse me, Jackie, that's one thing that's happening here is they're seeing an opportunity in building retirement homes here. And there's
lots of like long-term care places and assisted living places and adult communities with options to increase your care. But as you say, I don't know anything about the children with special needs, but in terms of long-term care and Alzheimer's and that type of stuff, it's definitely happening more and more here.
The builders are catching on that there's a need for this because of the proximity to the United States. And so they're definitely trying to take advantage of this. And there's some very pretty places that they're building.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's much more affordable. When my husband got really sick several years ago before he passed away, he was so sick he had to go into assisted living. And it was $8,500 a month for assisted living. Oh, I know. Yeah. It hurt. It hurt financially. It hurt big time. So, and there's a lot of people that they don't have the insurance that they have insurance, but if you want to go into a nice place, then they might not take the insurance. So you have right. limited choices. If you have insurance for assisted living or nursing homes, there's only certain places you can go, and it's probably not a place you'd want to go to. But if you want the choice to go where you want to go to, you have to pay out of pocket, and you're looking at big bucks. So it's great that they're offering that.
Yeah, and one thing that we would consider is just hiring a young lady to come in and take care of us.
You can have in-home nursing or have a doctor come to you twice a week, and that's all affordable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, they do make house calls here.
That's what they do here in Panama. You can go into assisted living. There's a few assisted living facilities, but most people, they just have home health care. And initially, they might only come two or three times a week for part-time. They have live-in home health care. You can call your doctor. It's $25 for a home visit by the doctors to come here. So it's just a completely different environment than what so many people are used to, that they have a choice to live by themselves or spend the really big bucks in independent or assisted living in North America. But you have outside of North America, you have many, many more affordable choices. So it's a completely different environment.
Without a doubt.
So yes. Another question here from, I believe it's Lee or maybe Michael, area code 718. Go ahead with your question for Billy or Keisha.
Hi, I have a question about the medical insurance that you have there, Jackie. Is that the one that you said is $102 a month? Do you go to any doctor with that, any private doctor, or is it the specific ones you have to look for?
Nope, any doctor, any hospital in Panama.
In Panama, the whole country, private, all the private ones, right?
Any hospital, any doctor in the country of Panama. I'm not covered outside of the country, but I can always get traveler's insurance. If I was going to go to Mexico to Lake Chapala to see Billy and Akisha, I could get traveler's insurance for that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So next question is area code 2. It's Penny. Area code 202. Is that you, Penny?
Yes. Can you hear me, Jackie?
Penny's one of my regulars, and she's been on the tour twice. Go ahead, Penny.
Yes. January 2016 and January 2020. I have a quick question for the cater lease. I need some dental work done, and I know there's a place in Mexico that a lot of Americans go to for health, for just seeing a physician, but mainly dental work. And I was wondering if you remember the name of this city. So I'd like to look into that.
Is it right across the border from Arizona?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it starts with an A.
Algodones, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's Algodones.
How do you spell that?
think it's
Okay, great. Yeah. That's basically it. I'm hoping this. Go ahead.
Are you flying to Mexico? Because if you're flying, you can come to a lot of other places. Like Chapala has great dental care, and it's a really sweet town. You love the area, you know. There's a lot of expats here, and as I said, you know, Billy got his tooth implants, and you get bridges and all that sort of thing, and it's very affordable. But yes, a lot of expats do go to Algodones across the border.
I get my teeth cleaned for $15, 300 pesos, and if it's anything serious, I go to an oral surgeon when he's the guy who did my tooth implant. So,
yeah,
and they're both within walking.
You guys, let me tell you guys, we're not making up these prices. These are real. The prices they're talking about for dental care and doctors, the price I've talked about for dental care and doctors and other things here, it's just so affordable. My gardeners were here yesterday. It's $25 a day for the whole day to have a gardener. He was here at 8:30 and worked till almost 4 o'clock in the afternoon. A maid is going to be about $30 a day to come to your house. So, you know, I never ever had a maid come to my house when I lived in Texas. I couldn't afford it. There were a lot of things I couldn't afford when I lived in Texas, but you can completely change your lifestyle whenever you move to another country where the costs are so much more affordable. Things that you could never afford before, you can all of a sudden start affording to treat yourself to life's little luxuries just because the cost is so much more affordable. And that's the secret. The secret to this whole geographic arbitrage that Billy was talking about is you got to move. You're not a tree. You can pick up and you can move to another place where it's a lot more affordable.
And what we're finding out is because of this pandemic is that, you know, our lives aren't forever. And you got to make the most of it. You only get one shot at this one.
Yep. Exactly. And don't have regrets, you know, and go out and enjoy it. You know, some people, there was a good gentleman that contacted me last month and he wanted me to help rent his house out, that they had moved down to Panama and the company that he'd retired from called him back and said, hey, the replacement we hired for you just didn't work out. And could you come back? And he said, no, I'm retired. And he said, well, what if we make you an offer you can't refuse? And they did. They made him an offer that he couldn't refuse, but he got to have a little taste of living in another country. But he decided because of the whole pandemic and curfews and things that he was going to go ahead and go back maybe for another 6 months or another year, and then he'll come back again. So one, the moral of that story is it's not a one-way door. Just because you leave wherever you are right now and you go live in Panama for 2 or 3 or 5 years, or you live in Thailand, or you live in Lake Chapala for a while, you may decide you want to make that your lifestyle for the rest of your life, or you may just want to give it a try for 5 years and just say, I did that. And just if it was on your bucket list to live in another country for a while, then go ahead and do it and get it done. And it's a perfect time to do it right now because so many people are unemployed, and some of you may be unemployed. You could have lost your job or your business can't operate because of the pandemic. So just take a little break, take a little breather, and give a chance to go live in another country for a while. And then when things settle down, maybe you can go back to working if you decide to do that, or you can go back to starting your business or even recreating that business in another country.
Right. There's always opportunities. Once you get out of your box, the world opens up to you and you start seeing things a whole lot different.
Yeah, you see opportunity on every single corner.
Right.
It's just amazing. So it's already been an hour. Billy and Keisha, I want to thank you so much for joining us on this conference call. We did have some other questions, but I'm just going to ask them to go to your website at retireearlylifestyle.com and They can contact you through there. Be sure to check out their books that they have on how you can retire early and specific books about different countries that you might be interested in. I've talked a lot about Panama, and I love living in Panama, but Billy and Akeisha have information about other places like Guatemala and Mexico and living in those areas. So you might want to do a little bit of research about both of them and then decide which one you might a good fit for you, and even sign up for their mentor program and have someone hold your hand a little bit to help you make that decision. Do you have any final words of wisdom for people that are thinking about making this move to another country, Billy and Akeisha?
We have a free newsletter they can sign up for also that we share our travel tips and our financial tips and so on every week. And, you know, I would say that if you're considering moving in another location or just considering changing your life, do it. You know what I'm saying? Like Jackie said, it's not a one-way door. And you'll find that you've got a lot more freedom than you think. And just one last thing I'd like to mention is many people live on their Social Security in these countries, and that's very common. So if you don't think you have enough money, you might be surprised.
And there's no perfect time to retire. You know, we have friends who retired in 2007-08, right when the bottom fell out of the market. And there's people retiring every day as more and more baby boomers are aging. And so there's never a perfect time. You just got to do the best you can, get all your ducks in a row, and take a leap and have some faith that you've lived this long, you've done well financially this long, and you're gonna make it through no matter what happens.
Thanks so much for having us, Jackie. We really appreciate it. We appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
And we apologize for the hiccups at the beginning. We're not sure what happened, but
That's you know. No problem. It's okay. I want to thank you both so much for being on the call, and thank you to everybody that called in for today's conference call. Next Saturday, once again, I'll do my Saturday conference call with everyone. Be sure and check out retireearlylifestyle.com and subscribe to their newsletter. It doesn't cost anything, and you'll get weekly updates about living overseas. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.